Have you ever heard of the author Douglas Adams? He wrote the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. There's like 6 books or something. I read like 4 of them. It's a really nerdy science fiction satire kind of a book series. And so in this book series, he always makes one of science fiction ideas that use science kind of, but not really, in a kind of a goofy way to make you, I don't know. It's kind of random. It's a really nerdy thing. But one of the things I really liked about it was that in the future, with alien technology, they develop an invisibility cloak. Now, the invisibility cloak doesn't really, like, bend light. It doesn't make things literally invisible. It just covers the object that you want to make invisible with a special aura that makes people think it's somebody else's problem. So it's called the somebody else's problem field. So whatever you want to make invisible, you put in the field in it so people will see it, but they'll think, oh, that's somebody else's problem. So they'll totally ignore it as if it's not there. So that's how the futuristic science fiction invisibility field works. And the main characters in the book have like a spaceship that they teleport around and in the middle of like a huge soccer game. But then because it's covered by somebody else's problem field, there's like thousands of people there, but they don't look at it and they don't notice it because they think, somebody else's problem, I'm just gonna ignore it. Which I thought, if you're a nerd, that's really hilarious. You guys need to be more nerdy. But I think that's kind of true with a lot of Christians, though. There's certain things in our lives that we should be noticing, that we should be paying attention to, that should be standing out to us. But in a way, we kind of think, that's somebody else's problem. That's not my problem. That's somebody else's deal. And so, in a sense, that becomes invisible. Just like that spaceship becomes invisible because you think, you see the spaceship and you go, there's a spaceship. But your reaction is, but that's somebody else's problem. Let them deal with it. In certain Bible things, I think one of the main things that a lot of us apply the somebody else's problem field to is missions. You see, even though this group of students is going on a mission trip, and then we also went on a mission trip in Nashville during spring break, and there'll be another mission trip in July to New Mexico, the thing is that although these kids are missionaries for this trip, the realization is that all of us Christians are missionaries, whether we're on a mission trip or not. We're all missionaries of Jesus Christ, whether or not we're being sent out somewhere or not. We're all missionaries. But a lot of times we kind of ignore that aspect sometimes. We just kind of think, well, they're the missionaries. They're going out to mission trips. Therefore, that is somebody else's problem. Missions is their issue. I don't need to worry about missions. But the Bible is clear that we are all missionaries. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. So Jesus is telling, this is the Great Commission. This is one of the last things that Jesus says before he ascends into heaven to his disciples. Jesus tells them, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. So one of the last things that Jesus says is make disciples of all nations. And so, this is something that continues now. The disciples made disciples, and those disciples made disciples, and thousands of years later, people have been following this till we get to now, where we are discipling and getting discipled, and we're making more disciples. So this applies to us. And also, if you turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is Jesus referring to Pentecost, where Jesus ascends and the Holy Spirit descends. And Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, the thing is that in order to make disciples, you need to actually get somebody to believe in Jesus, right? You can't make a disciple if you don't believe. You can't just go up to a non-Christian and say, hey, want to get discipled by Jesus or to be like Jesus? You know, that doesn't work. You need to get them and lead them to Jesus Christ first and foremost. And that is missions, right? There's not like the church, Jesus didn't say, hey, you know, you do missionaries and you do discipling. You know, it's not like that. We're all called to be disciples, right? Pastor Jeff has been preaching about making disciples, that all of us are to be discipled and to make disciples. But before you even make a disciple, you need to get somebody to become a Christian first, right? So in order to even begin the discipling process, we need to make believers. We need to be witnesses of Jesus Christ and get people to come to Christ. And as such, we automatically become missionaries. And a lot of times, we think of missionaries as people that go off to somewhere far away. Missionaries have to go off to, you know, out of the zip code. Missionaries have to go off to talk to other people groups, whether it be like the Chinese people or Indian or African or the homeless or whatever. It's always, we have to go out somewhere else, far away, away from our daily lives to missions. But if you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we are witnesses of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That although part of it is going out to other places, right? But a lot of it is local. Jerusalem is the city where they're all in. Judea is the region where they're all in. So missionaries don't just go out to other places, but missionaries can be missionaries exactly where they are. That you can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter where you are. You can be at home or far away. Notice that Jesus didn't say, you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. It's, you'll be my witnesses in here and there. Everywhere, you'll be my witnesses. So we're called to all be missionaries. And I thought about certain things that are important for missionaries that I think that we need to have important for ourselves. The first point I would like to make is that you are a primary way other people will learn about God. As a missionary, the way that other people will learn about God is through you. God has spoken through miracles, he's spoken through visions, he's spoken through all sorts of things. But in the New Testament era, it's obvious that the primary way that God sends his message out to people is through us, his followers, his believers, that we spread the gospel to other people. In the Old Testament era, God calls Israel in Exodus chapter 19 to become a kingdom of priests. This body of Israelites are supposed to be holy to God. They're supposed to be the intermediary between God and man. They're supposed to be leading other people to God. But a lot of times they become really selfish. They become introverted. They thought about themselves. And as such, God punished them for that.
Frequently, actually.
And as Christians nowadays in the modern era, we are also missionaries. We're also called to become a kingdom of believers. We're a group of people that were all about reaching other people and bring them to God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17.
You can flip to it if you want to. It's not mandatory, but it'd be nice.
Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17, Paul writes, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So Paul says, how can you believe upon a guy that you've never heard of? How can somebody call upon Jesus if they've never heard the name of Jesus? How can they get saved if they've never even heard of salvation? How can they call upon God if they don't even know about God? So his primary, one of our main purposes as Christians is then to spread the word of God. Because how are people that are out there that don't know God, how are they supposed to know about God if we don't tell them? And so we have this burden upon ourselves to bring people to Christ, to let them know. So it's not somebody else's problem, it's our problem. When somebody doesn't know about Jesus Christ, it's our issue, it's our problem. We need to go out there and spread the word. Now we can't make somebody believe, we can't make somebody convert, but it is our duty to make the message heard and to get them to know. So first and foremost, as a missionary, you are the primary way other people will learn about God. You are the way that those people will actually learn about God. Secondly, you are the primary go-between for unbelievers to God. You are the bridge between the people that don't believe God and God. God has chosen us. It's such a high privilege that we are representatives of God, that God has enabled us to be witnesses. We are to lead people to God. I mean, that's such a huge thing. It's crazy that we can approach God. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, there's different sections of the temple. There's the court of the Gentiles / women. And then there's like an inner court. And then there's the holy place, which the priest can go into. And then there's the back room, the Holy of Holies, the most sacred space where the Ark of the Covenant dwells. And only, so in the whole nation of Israel, only one guy could go in that room to approach God. Only one guy, and he could only do it one time per year, at the Day of Atonement, to do sacrifice for God. So in the nation of Israel, legally speaking, only one guy could approach God once a year to offer sacrifices. And even then, this is a huge scary thing, right? They talk about how, like, in certain customs, they put bells on them so that you can hear that the high priest is there doing his thing. He's not dead because the bells are ringing. And later on, one of the traditions is to tie a rope to the high priest's leg so that, let's just say he does mess up in there and God zaps him, you know, it's not like, oh no, the high priest died. I better go in there to go get him. And then they run in there and they get zapped, you know, and then they have a pile of dead bodies in there. So they would tie like a rope so then the high priest dies and you can pull him back out. Hey! But think about how scary it is that only one guy could approach the Holy of Holies once per year. And even then, he's doing stuff. If he messes up, if he has got the wrong heart, if he does something wrong, if he sins in there, he'll get zapped. I think about how scary that is. Only one guy can approach God once per year. But we learn about in the Gospels, when Jesus Christ dies, three of the Gospels mention this, that when he dies, there used to be this huge curtain, this really thick, heavy curtain that would separate the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And then when Jesus Christ died, the curtain got ripped in two pieces. This huge curtain got ripped in two so that it's a symbolic gesture of a reality that we have access to God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22, the author writes, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." The author of Hebrews says, hey, this curtain that separated us from God is torn. Jesus Christ is now our high priest. Now we can go into that Holy of Holies and have direct access to God whenever we want, 24/7. I think about that. That's huge. The Israelites, only the high priest can go back there. Only certain select people can really go face to face with God. If you want your sins atoned, if you want this kind of stuff, you got to go through somebody else to get to God. But then that Jesus Christ has died for us, we have direct access to God ourselves, that we can get to God. We have direct access. Think about that. That's huge. The Israelites would never have dreamed of such a privilege. So the important thing is that we have a direct access to God. We have direct access to the people out there. Those people do not have direct access to God. Therefore, we have to bring them to God, right? Because they can't get to God. They can't get into the Holy of Holies, but we can. So we have access to people that we need to bring to God. And importantly, too, with missionaries, they're conduits, right? They bring people to God. They don't bring people who know. They don't bring people who don't know God to people who do know God and then to God. Now, imagine if like a missionary goes out to like China or somewhere and they're going like, hey, I'm a missionary here. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Okay, you want to know more about God? Hold on. Let me go ship you back to America so you can meet my pastor and my pastor will tell you more and he'll do stuff. I think a lot of Christians like to do that, you know. A lot of us aren't really sure of our faith in God. A lot of us don't believe we have access to God as if Pastor Jeff has somehow like VIP access to God. So that when we come and we see like, oh, here's a non-believer at my work or whatever, and they come up to me and say, hey, can you tell me more about God? A lot of times people go, let me introduce you to my pastor. He'll tell me more about God, you know, as if Pastor Jeff has like a VIP access card. He's got gold membership, you know, as if you don't have access to God. But realize that you personally have direct access to God too. Same access that I have, same access that Pastor Jeff has, same access that Pastor Chu has, same access as Billy Graham, same access as anybody else that's Christian. That we all have access to God. So that we need to provide those people with access to God through our access, right? We need to go bring those people directly to God. So don't look at somebody else's problem as missionaries go out there and they bring people to God. Or maybe I bring people to Pastor Jeff and Pastor Jeff brings people to God. No, you can bring people to God yourself. You introduce people to God. You are all the conduit because you're a missionary. Because imagine if a missionary did that, though. Hey, I'm preaching to you in Mexico or whatever, but if you want to be a Christian, come back to ACCCN and meet my pastor, and I'll help you get closer to God, you know? No, you have to do it yourself. You have the ability. You are enabled to do it yourself. Thirdly, you need to know your mission field. You need to know your mission field. As a missionary, you need to know who you're going to be preaching to, who's around you, who's ripe for the gospel. Imagine if, like, a missionary came up and said, hey, I'd like the support of the church. I'm a missionary. I'm going to somewhere in Africa. I think it's in the south. I'm not so sure. And I'm going to be preaching to Africans, I guess. I don't know what they're called, you know. Imagine if somebody did that. Or like, hey, I'm going to South America or Latin America or something. I don't know. Somewhere Spanish, you know, and maybe Mexico. I don't know. And I'm preaching to Native Americans. They're like Mayans or something. I don't know either. What are you going to be like? You're going to be like, what? Does this guy know what he's talking about? You know? Here's a map of South America. I will be here somewhere, you know? I'll preach to some people, you know? No missionary would do that in their right mind as a presentation. Hey, I'm going to preach to some people somewhere. But a lot of times, that's how we are, because we're missionaries. We need to know who is around us. Who can we preach the gospel to? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20 to 23. First Corinthians 9, chapter 20 to 23, or verses 20 to 23. Paul writes, to the Jews I became a Jew, as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. So notice that Paul doesn't just, he knows who he's reaching to. He says, oh, look, there's a Jewish people. I need to approach them like this. Oh, these are people that are legalistic. I'll approach them like this. These are people who are weak. I'll approach them like that. He knows his audience. He didn't just use a scattershot method or just, you know, I'll let the Holy Spirit lead me kind of thing. But he knew what he was going into and let God use him in those circumstances. He knew his missionary field. So as a missionary, as a Christian in this world today, do you know what your missionary field is? Do you know who you're supposed to preach to? John Piper famously said in Let the Nations Be Glad, missions exist because worship doesn't. The reason why we have missionaries is because not everybody is worshiping God. If we lived in a world where everybody worshiped God, we would not need missionaries. But that's the problem. So anywhere you go where people are not worshiping God, you are automatically a missionary. You are to be beacons of light to those people. One of my friends back in Dallas, she was a college student. I remember in her apartment, on her door, she used to have this one sign on her door. I asked her recently. She had to take it down because she's moving. But she used to have this on her door. She'll put it up again. But on this door, it said, you are now entering the mission field in her apartment complex. Think about it. You are now entering the mission field. That was on her door. So every time she left her room, she got hit by the words, you are now entering the mission field. Because outside of that door are unbelievers everywhere. Unbelievers at school, unbelievers at the store, unbelievers just down the street, unbelievers' neighbors. Everybody's surrounded by unbelievers. So to her, it's not like, I have to go to this specific place and therefore that is the mission field. But to her, the world is the mission field. The sign reads, you are now entering the mission field because everywhere outside of there is the mission field. So I want you to consider in your life, what is your mission field? Where do you work? Of course, at my work, everybody's a Christian, I hope, at the office. But so I kind of have a pass on that one. But for you guys, where you work, are they full of Christians? Are there non-Christians around? Do you interact with non-Christians at work? How about at school, whether at college or in high school or middle school or wherever? Think about all those people around you. I remember one of my professors talked about in seminary, that if you think about it, as a student, right? So you're sitting in a seat. You have how many seats around you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have 8 people sitting around you at school every day. If you have 7, let's say 6 classes, you can get in contact of 48 people around you during the day that sit directly next to you. Think about that mission field. There's 48 people a day up to. And how many of those people are non-believers? How many of them can you spread the gospel to? And think about at work. How many people have cubicles next to you? How many different people at work are there that could maybe use the gospel? How many of them need to learn about Jesus Christ? That is your mission field. Don't think of it as, I will do missions once Jesus sends me to Africa or to China or to Hawaii. Right? Think of it as, God has already put you in a mission field. Right? As Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Your life is all about Jesus Christ. So it's not that Paul's saying God has to pull you out of your life and put you in that thing. But right now, 24/7, your life is your mission. Everybody around you is your mission field. So you have to know your mission field. Otherwise, how can you reach people? So figure out who is around you. Who needs to hear the gospel? Because right, the first truth in experiencing God is God is at work around you. If you pay attention, you will see that God is somehow touching people. How people will become curious. People ask questions. Things will happen if you look for it and listen for God to do something, for God to work, because he's already doing stuff that we need to actually respond. Fourthly, you need to have a message prepared. Imagine if somebody goes to a mission field and they preach the gospel to somebody. Or even if they just say, hi, welcome. I'm a missionary. I'm from a church. You know, I sent by God, you know. And the guy's like, hey, so you're a missionary, right? So what do you believe in? I believe in Jesus. He's a good guy. You should get to meet him. You know, he died for your sins. Okay, so why did he die for my sins? Let me talk to my pastor, you know. Let me get back to you. I mean, if a missionary did that, that would be absolutely horrible. I'd be like, what? Why are you a missionary? You know, really? Really? But with Christians, though, we're all missionaries, and I think a lot of times we react like that. It was until I was about, like, 21 or something that I realized that I really did not have a message prepared. I did not know how to present the gospel. Even after seminary, I'm not, like, perfect. I don't know everything. But at least I have a good, solid foundation of what the gospel is. And as Christians, we all need to know what the gospel message is. Because when somebody in your mission field at work says, hey, you're a Christian, right? Hey, I'm Buddhist, but so what's the difference? You know, what makes your thing special, more special than mine? Or hey, you know, I believe in reincarnation in my belief. What do you guys believe, you know? Or hey, I believe in the Quran that Muhammad wrote down. That was sent by God. What do you think? Do you have a response to say, well, I believe that the Bible is the truth and Jesus died for our sins and so on and so on. What if somebody just says to you, hey, you know what? I do a ton of good stuff. You know, I work with charities all the time. I think, you know, God will appreciate that, right? The good stuff I do can cancel out the bad stuff, right? Or somebody says, hey, just tell me about the gospel. You're a Christian, right? You've been a Christian for 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. So what's the big deal about Christianity? What do? You know? You need to have a response. As Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15, and in this case he's referring to persecution, people attacking the Christians. Peter writes, but in your hearts always honor the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So when somebody says, what is your hope? What's your deal? You're a Christian, right? What's your deal? What is it you believe? Do you have a response? Because if you don't have a response, I mean, that just kind of, I would imagine that would turn somebody away. If somebody said, hey, you're a Christian, so what is it that Christians do? And your response is, we go to church sometimes and we sing and stuff. So, you know, why should I be a Christian? Because it's fun? I don't know. You know, if you had those kind of weak responses, if anything, that would turn people away from God. So you need to have a good message, a good response to any questions they have, and to be able to present your faith, to be a proper missionary. Lastly, you need to behave as a missionary that is in the field. We are all missionaries, right? Jesus Christ is no longer here. We are Christians. We are little Jesuses running around. We are supposed to be reflections of God, to set examples to the world as missionaries. Because if you think about it, in a missionary field, say you go to some rural place, you know, some jungles of somewhere, and you preach to certain people, and you're a Christian, that's the only Christianity they will see. They will see the way that you act will be their reflection of what they think God acts. So if you act lovingly, if you act caringly, if you act righteous and holy and all that other stuff, they'll think, wow, their God must be pretty righteous and holy too. But if you act in a greedy way, if you act in an immoral way, if you act in a corrupt way, they'll think, wow, their God is kind of corrupt. Probably, you know, he doesn't really care. So your actions in a mission field are exactly the same as a missionary off in Africa or China or wherever as you are in your work. Because your coworkers will say, hey, you know, that guy's a Christian, right? But he does some, you know, he does some sketchy stuff at work. Or, hey, man, that kid's a Christian, but kid cusses a lot during class, you know? Or, hey, that person's a Christian, but they're just as greedy as I am, hey. So as missionaries, we need to act as missionaries in the field. Don't act like, hey, man, that's missionaries is somebody else's problem. I'm here. I just do my thing, you know? I just act however it is I want to act. I let the missionaries, let Pastor Jeff, let Pastor Chu, let the deacons and elders act Christian. I'm just doing my thing. But for all of us, we need to act Christian all the time. Because the missionary's purpose is to spread the gospel. Again, to live as Christ, to die as gain. We need to spread Christ. That is our purpose. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, 16, sorry. This is the last passage. Yay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. And Jesus says to the people, the crowd that is listening, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Think about it. Jesus doesn't say, hey, be a Christian and just hide it. Jesus says, doesn't be a Christian to be humble about it, to be modest and just kind of, you know, tuck it in your jacket and just kind of leave it there, you know. Pull out your Christianity on Sundays, you know. And go on a mission trip, you pull out your Christianity. But rather, it's going to be a light that's going to be shining, right? It's going to be something that's wonderful, bright, like a light that you put on a stand so that everybody can see in the whole house. Your Christianity should be like a city on a hill where nobody can miss it. So then somebody walks by, they'll see that city and go, wow, man, that's something. Or that light that shines in the whole room. It's not something that you just kind of, you know, hey, I'm a Christian at church, hey, praise God, yeah. And then like you go outside and put your Christianity back in your pocket and leave it there for a week. But that we need to act like missionaries in the field 24/7 because we are missionaries. We are supposed to be making disciples, but if you don't make disciples, if you don't evangelize, you can't make disciples. You know, in the Bible, there's all this stuff about doing things in such a way not to make people stumble. Jesus says, if you make one of these little ones stumble, it is better for that person to have a millstone tied around their neck and to be thrown into the sea. Think about it. It's better for somebody to be thrown into the sea than to cause a little one to stumble, because it's really important. Right? Because what you do can have huge effects. And Paul writes about, don't let your freedoms make other people stumble. Because as Christians, we're allowed to do stuff, right? I can sleep with my girlfriend if I want to. I still go to heaven. I can do drugs. I'll still go to heaven. I can cheat on my taxes. I'll still go to heaven because Christ has forgiven me of all my sins. But the thing is that if I do those things, am I affecting somebody else's faith? Am I affecting somebody else? So think about that. How are your actions affecting other people? As a missionary in the field, do your actions bring people to Christ? Are you being a good missionary? Or do the things that you do push people away from God? Or do they bring them closer to God? And I want you to honestly think about that, because it's a lot of times we think that Christianity is just for Sunday or for Friday night or Wednesday night prayer meeting or conferences or retreats or whatever, camps, or for kids that go on mission trips. But we're missionaries 24/7, every day of the week. 24/7, we're missionaries to our neighbors, to our friends, to our classmates, to our workmates, to the people at the grocery store, people at the gym. We're always missionaries everywhere we go. And I want you to analyze, how good of a missionary are you being? Now, if you're being a horrible, terrible missionary, don't make it like, game over, I'm done, and, you know, throw in the towel. But I want you to start working on it, you know. Get help from one of the older Christians who have had more experience, maybe. Read your Bible, pray, learn about it. If you don't know the gospel, read the Bible. Maybe ask Pastor Jeff, what would you say if somebody asked you, what is your message? And it could inspire you. If you don't really have any response, you know, work on it. If you don't have a relationship to God, if you don't remember, if you don't realize that you have a direct relationship with God, work on it. Pray about it. Read your Bible. Get involved with the church. Do things to build yourself up so you become a great missionary. Otherwise, we'll be salt that has lost its saltiness. It's only good for trampling on the street. Don't do that. Work on it and become better by the grace of God. So a quick summary is, you're a missionary, right? We're all supposed to make disciples, but step one is to get the people to become believers. And therefore, we're automatically missionaries. Step one, you're a missionary. Not just these little kids. Not just somebody that goes off to China or Taiwan or Africa or whatever. But you, in your daily life, you are a missionary. And as a missionary, you are the primary way other people will learn about God. Those people will hear about God through what you do and what you say. You are the primary go-between for unbelievers and God. Yes, Pastor Jeff and I and Pastor Chu, we all work for the church, and Sonny, we all work for the church and stuff, but we don't have special access to God. You have the same access that we have to God. And therefore, you can be a missionary. You can bring people to God, not just us. You need to know your mission field. It's all over around you, right? The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will bring workers. You are the workers, and everybody else is the field. You need to have a message prepared. When somebody asks you what you believe in, you need to have a message prepared, because if you don't, that's just symbolic of your weak faith. And lastly, you need to behave as a missionary that is in the field. Don't just turn off your Christianity whenever you feel it's convenient. Don't just turn off your Christianity when it becomes awkward. Keep your Christianity on all the time. You're Christian everywhere you go. You're a missionary everywhere you go. Who knows what God might be preparing for you? Who knows what God is preparing in other people's hearts around you, at work, at school, at play, at the gym, or wherever? God is preparing people. He's just waiting for you to say, oh, hey, I'll take it, you know? Because otherwise, he'll find somebody else. He can do that, you know? He's amazing like that. But I want you to remember to be a missionary in the field. So remember, in your life, even though these kids are going out to mission trip today, you all are on mission trip too. During your whole life, you were on a mission trip until you get to heaven, where everybody worships God and we don't need missionaries anymore. So remember, you are all a missionary. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. And thank you, Lord, for giving us access to yourself. And just thank you, God, for even letting us know you, Father. And for giving us the awesome privilege it is to represent you to people on earth, Father. That's such a huge privilege. And kind of a scary one, Lord. And I pray that all of us, myself included, will take this mission thing seriously, Father. That we all be missionaries for your glory. And that this isn't just something that we just pass by or we don't care about, Father. But including myself, that I pray that all of us will become full-time missionaries for you 24/7, Lord. That we all be conscientious of the people around us. That we just have this burning desire to bring more people into your kingdom, Father. And I pray that you enable us through the Holy Spirit to just soften our hearts and to make us as just as loving of other people as you are, and to become the best witnesses and representatives of you that you would have us to be, Lord. As I lift up this whole church and all the people that they interact with, Father, that we all be the best missionaries that you can make us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.